Okay, I get it. We're supposed to share the love. But when it comes to two breakfast croissants for $4 from Jack in the Box, sometimes you need to share with someone who really looks out for you. That would be you. Who bought you those two croissants anyway? You did. Well done, you. Gold star. Go ahead, share it with yourself. Get two buttery croissants with freshly cracked eggs and your choice of sausage or grilled bacon and ham for $4 only at Jack in the Box. Home of breakfast served all day. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Tax not included.
Welcome
to Night Search Radio.
This is Night Search. This is Eddie Middleton in Memphis. Pat Riss over in Omaha co-hosting it tonight. We're going to have George Breckman on, co-hosting also here shortly from Huntsville, Alabama, author of Contact and Cosmology. We're interviewing James Bartley, who is a former Night Search host. And we're really much looking forward to talking with James tonight. And anytime we have him on, we all like to say about Night Search, we're cranking out information on the airwaves will make your hair raise. And I think we've got George Breckman on just now. Are you there, George? No, he's not. Okay. So, James, let's just begin. So you're a former host of Night Search, and you've been to Memphis 2 or 3 times to speak at some events we have here. I got George on here now, I think, finally. I think we got you on now, George, finally. But then he just clicked right back off again. So, James, how should we begin tonight? We need to catch up on a lot because I haven't had you on Night Search. It's been 4 or 5 years or something like that, and, of course, you've continued to do your research, and we know that you researched the dark side of the alien abduction phenomenon, being a protege of Barbara Bartlett. So just to begin, how would you like to begin?
Well, thank you, Eddie. Thank you for having me come on the show again, and a good place to start is Barbara Bartlett herself, my mentor who passed away in November 10th, 2010, I believe. She was a true pioneer, and she never got the credit she deserved for the outstanding accomplishments that she did. I've always likened Barbie as a cosmic combat medic. All these abductees would be referred to her. She never advertised. She never did her own blog show or radio show, and she seldom was even on the internet, yet somehow, call it through source, through divine spirit, whatever the case may be, a great many abductees were guided to her, and Barbie was able to work with them, help them relieve the hidden trauma that they'd carried around for a long time, help them to reintegrate and regain some semblance of equilibrium. And there was a number of issues which Barbie pioneered in as regards alien abductions. In the first place, Barbie knew that the reptilians were the primary abducting force. Many of the more mainstream alien abduction researchers incessantly talk about the grays, and more grays, what I call the gray areas of alien abduction research. But Barbie understood early on that a lot of the other races, factions of the grays, some of the mantis beings, some of the Nordic beings, and as unpopular as this may sound to some of the New Agers, some factions of the Palladian beings actually work for the reptilians, especially the factions of the Greys did a lot of the heavy lifting, a lot of the medical experimentation, not really experimentation, it's far beyond the experimental stage. A lot of the medical work, a lot of the genetic work was done by other beings which the reptilians had control over. And so that was a key point that Barbie made early on, that the reptilians were the primary abducting force. She also was instrumental in pointing out the energetic harvesting aspect of abductions. This due to the fact that we as human beings are resonators. We emit frequencies, and a lot of these negatively energized beings strive to keep us in a destabilized, disrupted state of dislocation. It's easier to control us, it's easier to manipulate us, and by keeping us mired down in the lower chakras, keeping us in a state where we're enduring negative thought forms and negative thought loops, and by creating chaos and disruption in our lives, as humans, we emit certain frequencies, and it behooves the reptilians and other negatively energized entities to make us emit feelings of anguish, hopelessness, fear, paranoia, and so forth, because these negative entities literally feed off this energy. They literally feed and are sustained, if you will, by those negative energies and emotions emitted by human beings. And Barbie was a pioneer in pointing this out. She also pioneered what she called research into the drama of the love obsession, which some of your listeners know as the alien love bite. Eve Lorgan was a protege of Barbie's, and in a support group that Eve Lorgan and I had years ago, we realized that a number of abductees in my labs we knew were having orchestrated, manipulated love relationships with other abductees. And Barbara Brothlick turned out to be the person who knew the most of that. And Barbara called it the drama of the love obsession. And simply put, it was the harvesting, once again, of the high-intensity emotions, psychic feelings, and whatnot between two abductees who'd been bonded and paired since childhood. And the abductees...
James, I listened to your entire interview or speech at Roswell 2008.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely fascinating. A lot of a wealth of information there. Would you say that often people are mistaking... By the way, this is George Breckman. I have been trying to get on the show since 5 till, and we're getting some sort of high-level interference electronically because I wasn't getting paged in or patched in every time I called. I would go to the host queue and not be tagged in until just now. But would you say that often people think that they are soulmates when in reality they've been selected by the reptilians?
Yes, because, and this may not sit well with some members of the audience who are more fundamentally inclined, but I am an implicit believer in reincarnation, and some of these beings seem to track human incarnations lifetime after lifetime, and what they can do is create basically false inputs, make it seem as if someone has a past life connection with someone else because of the energetic bonding. In the book that the late great Carla Turner wrote, the first and foremost protege of Barbara Bartholik, Candy wrote a book about Ted Rice, and Ted Rice described as a young boy having an ET with a wand-like device extract some kind of energy from his heart chakra and meld it with the heart chakra energy of this gal named Jill and vice versa, and it created this love-bonding drama between them, which matured later on in an adult life. So what the ETs can do is make it seem that one has a kind of soulmate connection with another when it may not be a soulmate connection. There could be some past life association, but more likely it's the repetitive bonding with that between those two abductees, starting with childhood, some of it at an energetic level and at an astral level, which, if anything, is even more bonding emotionally and psychologically than the physical aspect.
Now, James, other than just the bonding, how does this compare with the...
I'm sorry?
You've had an acquaintance with a number of these love bite cases. I know, because when I first met you, you were telling me about some people you knew personally that were victimized by this.
Yes, and I've gone through it too. A lot of these experiences I describe, I've actually gone through them. And one thing I can say about the alien love bite, which is a term coined by an abductee in Northern California named Kurt Main, the alien love bite can leave the two people, and they could be heterosexual partners, right? Could be homosexual pairings. It depends on what kind of energetic mix the ETs are looking for. And having gone through it, I can say that it's emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually exhausting. One feels like a limp, wet rag whilst going through it. And one gets the feeling whilst they're going through it that it'll never end, that they'll never get over this love obsession with another person. But rest assured, once the abductee recognizes the nature of the manipulation, right? Because oftentimes, one or the other targeted person will develop a love obsession with someone that they ordinarily would never even be attracted to, right? That's one of the facets of it. And once this connection is made, very often at a UFO lecture or a UFO conference, for example, or some kind of metaphysical New Age gathering, you know, the sparks fly, all the pre-bonding going back decades kicks in. They begin to have psychic interactions, astral experiences, astral sex. They begin to anticipate each other's phone calls and whatnot. So the psi levels, the psi abilities, are kicked up to the nth degree, which is another hallmark of alien love.
Talk about the hybrids, because you talk quite a bit about alien, about reptilian-human hybrids, and we had somebody last week, Romanek, who were talking very enthusiastically about the fact that the Greys have been encouraging all these alien-human hybrids, and they're also proud of having all these hybrid kids off-world. What do the ETs get out of this? Are they just replacing themselves? Are these, as you say, just for my labs or other uses? Why the hybrids, and how do they produce the alien-reptilian hybrids? It seems like reptilians and us would not be genetically compatible.
It goes back to what Lloyd Pye discusses in his intervention theory. If anyone has had a chance or hasn't had a chance, go online to YouTube and look up Lloyd Pye, P-Y-E, and his intervention theory. And he does an outstanding job talking.
Yeah,
the Star Child. And he also talks about the intervention theory, about how these ancient aliens, be they the Anunnaki or what have you, imbued some of the Anunnaki DNA into a hominoid, a smaller Sasquatch-type creature, not a primate, but more like an Almas, a Sasquatch, or a Yowie-type creature, only smaller. And so there is a genetic compatibility, because to this day, and I encourage the readers to find the book Solomon Islands Mysteries by Marius Boyrad, where he talks about UFO bases and these hairy giants that still exist in the Solomon Islands. And there are, to this day, offspring and descendants between the forced union, if you will, between these giants and human women they've abducted and raped. To this day, you can find people who were descended from that union. Also, Lloyd Pye talks about there have been descendants of humans who have Alma genetics, that is the smaller hairy hominoid that roams Russia. There have been cases in some of the villages where the men were keeping a female Alma as a sex slave, essentially, and offspring resulted. So there is a genetic compatibility between at least the hybridized human and the hairy hominoids. And where the reptilians come in is, see, I'm a fervent believer, of catastrophism, that over geologic time there have been many what I would call resets, where either due to comets or other celestial events, mass destruction has been heaped upon not only planet Earth but throughout the solar system. And when these resets occur, not only is there a mass extinction, but some of these entities, reptilians in particular, take the opportunity to manipulate the surviving humans genetically in ways which advance the reptilian agenda, what I would call in shorthand the David Icke hypothesis, which I am a firm believer in. And if you've seen my lecture, you know that I talk about hybrids that reptilian-human hybrids, many of which turn into serial killers or child molesters or other types of individuals. A lot of emphasis has been placed on the hybrids between humans and grays, but more emphasis needs to be placed on those hybrids who have marked reptilian genetic characteristics. And if you could go online, there are sites where you can see many humans with blatantly vertical pupils, right?
Those haven't just been photoshopped. I mean, I remember seeing pictures
I've seen that. I've seen people
Ted
with Koppel, vertical pupils.
George Bush, all kinds of people. I could certainly see Dick Cheney with a set of vertical slits. I have no problem with the idea. I just don't know if that's real or not.
Well, it goes back to the genetic intervention theory, and it goes back to what David Icke talks at length about.
Of course, you have to pull off that Darth Vader helmet first so you can see him, but I'm correct.
Yeah. But it goes back to what David Icke talks about, this interbreeding with these royal, if you will, bloodlines that have a preponderance of reptilian DNA. There's no question in my mind that that's the case, but that just represents one type of hybrid. There are people who are hosted by mantis entities. There are people that have been taken up as hosts by gray entities. It's really dependent upon the DNA mix, because all humans, bar none, are hybrids of one sort or another, because there have been many times throughout history. This time around, we're not even the original human race. I would say we're human race 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. Take your pick. I mean, these comet-driven disasters are periodic. They happen. There's no two ways about them. And
the last one was
about
200,000 years ago, when catastrophic pileup of volcanic ash created this genetic bottleneck, and there were very, very few hominid survivors.
So that's probably the case. But what people have to understand is there are beings, there are humans throughout the cosmos. One of the facets of abduction and contact research that is virtually ignored by the big name researchers, people like David Jacobs and whatnot, is that there are beings that are perfectly human, and they don't look like
correct.
Us. We look like them. I'm sorry?
Very correct. That's correct. I have met some of those, the Blavatians.
Yeah, no. A lot of people have had encounters with purely extremely advanced, highly spiritual, human-appearing beings. The genotype of a human is quite common throughout the cosmos. But, see, DNA is the currency of the universe, and a lot of these beings...
Now, James, when you mentioned the attachments, and as you mentioned the... people who are a host, and I remember this being a big aspect in some of the stuff that you've written. I've read pretty extensively in what you've written, and I'm impressed with that. Aren't we really just calling reptilians or mantid hitchhikers, if you will, or gray hitchhikers, what in folk cultures would be referred to as demons or some other sort of negative attachment, fukas, whatever the heck they are? And when a native shaman or anybody, a priest of whatever religion, is casting these off, aren't they really just getting rid of this nasty ET hitchhiker that's living on a person as a parasite?
It's all about parasitism. It's all about energetic harvesting. It's all about energy attachments.
Cultural context, we call them ETs, and in a preliterate society, they're called demons. Isn't that the only difference?
Well, it's a mixed bag. It's not mutually exclusive, because some of these ETs who literally get here in craft, see, there's been a big movement over the years to create this notion that the extraterrestrial hypothesis, if you will, and the interdimensional hypothesis are mutually exclusive. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Not at all.
It goes back to the whole concept of the ether. This is what Ben Rich talked about in a deathbed confession, that it had everything
physics.
To do with...
I mean, the ether. Ether theory physics was the predominant form of physics, and it was accepted, and that's the reason the Germans were able to create hyperdimensional craft in World War II.
Because they didn't
buy into Einsteinian physics. They were still using ether field physics.
Well, that's why they went to all this trouble to create the bogus Michelson-Morley experiment to debunk
Correct.
The ether, but it was invalid because it didn't take into account that the Earth is a rotating dynamic system. A lot of it has
Correct.
To do with torsion physics. A lot of it has to do with
yep.
hyperdimensional physics. So to get
yep.
back to your question, some of these beings who literally get here in craft, and I would argue that demons, you know, don't need craft. They simply create portal entries, and which many of which are naturally occurring, but a lot of these entities, be they demonic or interdimensional or extraterrestrial, have the ability to not only create and open portals and access and exit our reality, but they have the ability to alter their density too, because any psychic worth their salt can see in other planes around them, invisible in the visible spectrum, ETs, greys, mantis beings, reptilians. They can see these beings all around us at times, right? They just happen to be in a
Correct.
Different frequency. And these beings also can alter their density. They can pass through solid objects and whatnot. But I would point out that many humans have this innate capability also because of this genetic intervention. Many humans are essentially hybrids. Some are super hybrids that have quite
well, you
astonishing
mentioned the
metaphysical
astral,
capabilities.
The astral you mentioned the astral operators. Please set it aside for our audience the difference between astral operators and remote viewers, trained remote viewers who are used by the military and intelligence services. Is there really a difference?
Well, some people may do both. You see, the ETs and some of the more negatively energized entities people refer to as demons, they have the ability to interact with the human bioenergetic field, with the human astral body. And the deep black military has long since learned how to do this. I remember when I was in high school, I was having experiences where in my bedroom at night, I would hear these high-pitched tones, and it would cause me to spontaneously leave my body, right? So I learned early on that, you know, frequency, tone, what have you, resonance, and remember what Tesla said, with resonance, anything is possible. With frequency and resonance can come astral out-of-body experiences. So what some of the deep black elements of the military do, the super advanced ones, because they don't all have the same technological capabilities, what some of them do is they astrally abduct military abductees. And my labs are legitimate alien abductees first and foremost. And almost invariably, every legitimate my lab I've ever encountered has had reptilian experiences. Okay? That's one thing that I'd like to point out. There's a lot of people out there that call themselves super soldiers and, you know, my labs and whatnot, and then at the same breath they debunk reptilians. To me, that's mutually exclusive. But anyway, what the deep black military can do is they can astrally abduct somebody and use that person as a multiple capability platform. They can use them to astral travel, and they can send them underground. They can send them to any coordinate on the surface, above ground. They can send them into tunnel systems. They can use one astral operator, my lab, as a psychic comlink to control a number of other MyLab astral operators when they're tasked with searching tunnel systems or whatever the case may be. Now, many of those same people have also been utilized as remote viewers. I spoke of a case in my lecture in Roswell where a reptilian had come in, had sexually assaulted a woman, revved up her kundalini, and moments later that woman was teleported to this military base where she was immediately tasked with remote viewing. So because her kundalini, her sexual chi was amped up, she was in a more heightened psychic state. But you will find with a number of female abductees that have had reptilian sexual encounters, in the days after the experiences, they can be quite psychic. So,
let's try to put this into historical perspective. I mean, we had a long period of time in Western culture where we did not have rampant, wide-scale drug abuse. I'm not saying there weren't always a few rich guys blowing their money in an opium den somewhere, or that there weren't ladies of the night or some, you know, feudal lord who, you know, had it, wanted to have every woman in the village. But basically, the rampant promiscuity on the part of both genders and the rampant promiscuous drug abuse, which seemed to define Western cultures so recently, has it just taken the reptilians a long time to break down traditional societies and produce this kind of mess that they want, which generates all of this suffering and displacement? Could you talk about that?
Well, this whole concept of hallucinogenic drug use in order to commune or interact with non-human intelligence.
I'm not speaking of entheogens now. I'm not speaking of legitimate shamanic use of entheogens. I'm speaking specifically of how you spoke of methamphetamine and other really dangerous negative drugs which bring you to their frequency. And I really believe that cocaine is the same way. Every coke addict I've ever seen, dealt with, you know, had the misfortune of knowing, was reptilian occupied.
Well, what I was going to point out in this interview was the fact that they've taken that whole crystal meth crank agenda to the next level with what we call raves. I mean, I've spoken to some of the leaders of the rave movement because they use ecstasy, because they use other recreational drugs. They get locked into that frequency. And you know, the inhibitions are cast away. There's, in some of these big European raves, there's like 300,000 people there. So we're talking about energetic harvesting on a mass scale. Not only do some abductees who happen to be ravers have the ability to see the entities overshadowing people or see entities that are not visible in the visible spectrum, but when they're at these raves, they can see like dozens, if not hundreds, of grays jumping in and out of individual ravers. They could see reptilians jumping in and out of ravers. They can see what I call the snake entities, which was one of the things I wanted to bring out today, is that there could be entities behind the reptilians, these snake entities, which like to lodge themselves into people's solar plexus, but they also take up reptilians, mantis beings, and other entities as hosts. But these snake entities energetically feed off like swarms and crowds of ravers, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the people that have the ability to see into other dimensions, they can clearly see these entities getting larger and larger and larger, feeding off of these ecstasy-fueled ravers. So that's something that people need to understand, is that not only is ecstasy and not only is crystal meth and the derivative crank locked people into the reptilian/demonic frequencies and the grays also. Because remember, it's not only that they amp these people up and they emit all these discordant energies, but the brain is rewired, essentially, and it allows the entities to take up these people as hosts. People who don't even have a genetic predisposition to being a host, multiple entities could take up someone who's driven by crystal meth or crank and use that person's body as a vehicle with which to wreak mayhem on society. And so, and nowadays, there's a lot of pharmaceuticals, okay? Nowadays, there's a pharmaceutical called Adderall that's being prescribed like confetti to teenagers, right? Because so many things are described as mental disorders nowadays that there's always a pill for every condition. And so many of the
pharmaceuticals... Ritalin, Prozac, probably 60 million kids on all this.
Yeah, so they lock people into that frequency, which makes it easier for the entities to manipulate them. And so if you look at things, this gets back to your earlier point about how society has been, how society is essentially a reflection of the reptilians. I mean, for crying out loud, just look at mainstream TV. You have Forensic Files and CSI, where they show like graphic violence towards women. Every time they show a male, he's either a boorish thug or he's a Nelly who doesn't know what end of the hammer to hold. Everything is all about just, gender confusion. And you know, here's a disclaimer. I love all people, heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual. I love humans, okay? They're all soul containers, and they are all on a spiritual path. But it must be pointed out that the way that homosexuals are being depicted on the television is probably offensive to some homosexuals, okay? Because what they're showing is a total, complete breakdown of the family unit, of society in general. People are, you have these reality shows that promote boorishness, thuggishness, high drama and emotion. I mean, and rationality and logic is left off
the
platter.
Well, that's probably the ultimate addiction in our contemporary American society is the addiction to drama, especially petty, useless, ridiculous drama about nothing. And you see it reflected in all of these, quote, reality, what I call unreality shows.
Unreality shows,
really
that's what I call it, too. Jerry Springer, for example. See, the whole purpose is to lock people.
Or Maury, or whatever,
Yeah, the whole purpose is to lock people into a lower vibratory state, keep us mired down in the lower chakras of existence, have these negative, self-destructive thought loops just endlessly bounce around our minds like
a
pinball.
Hey, James, do you have a website or a book that we would like to plug on the show here? So people can get hold of you, read more about your work.
Yes, you can type in James Bartley and then space plus space whale, W-H-A-L-E, James Bartley plus whale. That'll take you to the whale site, a fine website put up by John Scudamore of Wales, right? Lots of stuff on there about reptilians, about the New World Order, Illuminati, whatnot. And so you'll be able
to
find my
website. Give that website one more time, please, for people to just grab their pens, you know.
It's the Whale website, W-H-A-L-E, I think, .to. And if you just type in James Bartley along with that, it'll take you to the James Bartley part of the Whale site. The other two websites I have, it's a long, convoluted list of numbers and letters, and I can't remember it offhand. But what I can do, Eddie, is I could send you the links, and then you can put them up later.
Yeah,
and,
please.
Yeah. So I'll be talking. I'll be putting up some new articles and whatnot. And one of the things I wanted to mention before we get off the topic of Barbara Brockle being the pioneer that she was, she mentored a number of outstanding researchers. My dear friend, Dr. Carla Turner, known as Candy to her friends, Candace Carla Turner, was a pioneer in alien abduction research. She really was the one that came forward with my lab investigations in the late 80s, early 90s. She pioneered that. She was an inspiration for me personally. She was an inspiration for Eve Lorgan, yet another protege of Barbara Brockle. So I would like to say that the Barbara Brockle tree of researchers is still very much intact, and this great research is still being put out. And I pay homage to Barbie, and I will always honor her memory with every act and deed.
James, when you get a chance,
that I do.
I know you refer to David Icke several times. You can't really talk about this subject without getting into David Icke's works. He's just one of those, the 500-pound gorilla in the room. He has his own solution to fighting the reptilians. We fight them through love. What is your solution for fighting this reptilian penetration into our society and into our space, into our world?
Well, I can say in a metaphysical, from a metaphysical perspective, and in shorthand, love actually does work, because I've had encounters with reptilians and other beings, negatively energized beings, and you can feel their negative energy. It'll make your skin crawl, it'll make your forearms and shoulders and neck muscles bunch up. You can feel like an attack on your heart chakra and your solar plexus chakra. No, they really do emit a negative energy. And what I have found is that when I bless these beings, literally say out loud, bless you, bless you, bless you, and mean it, and emit this, and bring up that vibe and that energy from, my solar plexus, from my heart chakra, and literally beam back this bless you, loving type energy, you know what? The energies eventually go away, because I am beaming at them an energy that is 180 degrees out of phase to what they are. And it's, think of like a Rife machine, right? So this is why they strive to just sow so much chaos and dislocation throughout the whole surface of the planet. That's why the mainstream entertainment media is what it is. It's nothing but negativity, nothing but bad news, nothing but chaos and high drama. See, when we emit an energy 180 degrees out of phase of that, they don't really have an answer for that. I remember a discussion I had with a Native American, a member of the Sioux Nation. I went to the Star Family gathering years ago, and I met one of the younger members of the Lakota Sioux tribe, and I asked them, well, tell me some stories from the Rez. I'm sure you've got some interesting things to say. And straight away, he talked about reptilians. And he said, yes, I've met these reptilian beings. They come around, but whenever they do, I just emit this vibe of love, and they go away. And to me, I thought that was profound. See, because the energy of hate has
James, it's like using love as garlic to drive the vampires away.
But it's part and parcel of the whole metaphysical approach. You see, I have no patience with strictly left-brained, lamestream science-oriented ufologists. Okay, those people are a hindrance that are in the way. The people that what people really need to do as to overcome these earth changes, to overcome everything that's going on the surface, is to really develop their metaphysical abilities. Okay, we need to get back to what the native indigenous peoples did for a long time, is that get in tune with nature, literally lift our vibrations up, work metaphysically. There's a number of different safe modalities, but I should warn people that a lot of people out there who call themselves Reiki masters and whatnot, not all of them, but some of them, are full-on host for reptilian and other entities. And the last thing you want is for someone who has a negative energy attachment to do work on your meridians, on your chakras, and so on and so forth. So discernment is the order of the day. But we have to remember we are energetic bodies. We are souls with bodies. And we are, like David Icke says, multidimensional infinity. And if we remember that, some of us already have had out-of-body experiences. We've already spontaneously remotely viewed. We've already experienced telepathy, spontaneous and otherwise. This is an innate ability many humans have because humans are hybrids. They have the DNA from a number, not just one or the reptilians, but a number of different ET races. And so we need to reconnect with our inner selves. And that way we'll overcome any and all obstacles. We are spiritual warriors. We are spiritual warriors. And this is...
George,
and
this is Pat. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Pat.
Right.
Hey, Pat, go ahead.
Oh, I was just asking, what does it mean to be on more than one timeline? Granton...
I'm glad you talked about that, because in the time that I got left, I really want to talk about my labs too. Richard Dolan, when he talks about the breakaway civilization, and when Hoagland talks about the secret space program, the breakaway civilization and the secret space program is not exactly news to military abductees. Okay,
right.
We're not just talking about what I call surface level stuff anymore. Surface level stuff is the outward manifestations of the reptilian overlordship, what people know as the New World Order or the Illuminati. Okay, I'm talking about the deep black underground stuff, also the things that happen off world and in alternate timelines. Because these deep black elements of the military that have forged, I don't even know if alliances is a proper word, because it seems to me that some of the non-human intelligences, especially the reptilians, seem to be in charge of a lot of these MyLab operations. But be that as it may, as Richard Dolan points out, the understanding of physics and cosmology of this breakaway civilization is far different than what is taught by lamestream academia. And it goes back to what Ben Rich says. Ben Rich, in his deathbed confession, he gave an interview to Tom Keller, and he said that pretty much anything you can imagine, we can already do. And when asked how the UFO propulsion worked, Ben Rich responded with a question. I'll ask you, how does ESP work? To which the interviewer said, all time and space is one. And then Rich said, exactly, that's how it all works. And see, this sidesteps all this nonsense about time dilation theory, all this nonsense about the speed of light, and all these other tiresome cliches that the mainstream scientists invoke. Now let's get back to my labs. What's happening in the deep black my lab operations is some of the deep black military organizations and the aerospace complex they're plugged into, what they've done is they've already carved out niches for themselves and other planes of existence. I said that correctly, other planes of existence. We're not just talking about off-world space stations, off-world ops, ops to Mars. That's old hat. And we're talking about establishing bases and installations on other planes of existence. And these deep black military groups, they have an understanding of physics that the mainstream doesn't have. For example, they can pull a MyLab through a portal and train them oftentimes in these other planes of reality for what seem like hours and days, and when they return them, not even a second has passed in our time stream. So what's been going on is because some of these deep black military groups, and there's a ritualistic element to some of them, because as you know, shamans, adepts, whatnot, have been opening portals and, you know, interdimensionally traveling for ages. Well, there is an overlap. Some of the deep black military groups use technology to open portals for off-world travel or time travel or alternate reality, alternate timeline travel, and I'll elaborate on that more. But some of the groups also utilize horrendous ritualistic ceremonies in order to open similar portals into some really nasty negative places where they actually let some of these critters in from other kind of like a necronomicon kind of, thing, the old ones kind of concept that people have talked about. But getting back to the MyLab thing, what some of these groups are doing is they're sending MyLabs on not only time travel ops, but they're sending them on alternate reality, alternate timeline ops, where they're going into these other timelines and alternate realities, and they're retrieving technology. They're observing how the timeline is in their world, if how many years advanced to us things are in these other worlds, or how many years behind us, technologically, cosmologically speaking, as far as their understanding is concerned. And I can say that based on the MyLabs that I've spoken to that have gone on these alternate reality ops through portals, and a lot of these teams are equipped with a handheld device right out of that show Sliders. And I was never a big sci-fi fan, okay? There's only a very few sci-fi shows I've ever watched. But there's a show out there called Sliders where this team has this handheld portal opening device which allows them to go and access all these different alternate realities. Well, there's something like that going on with some of these teams. They're equipped with this portable handheld device which allows them to open up portals and go to this place or that. And some of the realities they're describing, if it can be believed, are even worse than what's going on in this reality, where they're telling me...
You know, James, that movie, the Men in Black movie, I saw previews of, they showed them opening portals into other time dimensions. That was in the Men in Black comedy thing.
Well, it goes back to what some of the so-called discredited contactees described in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And serious UFO researchers really, really have to reevaluate a lot of those contactee cases, which the serious researchers have always debunked, probably because they involve human-looking beings and they describe voyages to Venus and Saturn and stuff. But if they paid attention and listened closely, a lot of those entities talked about Well, we do come from Venus, but it's on a different frequency. It's on a higher plane than this one, right? And stop setting off all these nukes. It's causing problems in all these other planes, right? So what
right.
some of these discredited and debunked contactees were told by those human-looking aliens is that some of this technology is organic. It's grown in chemical baths, and as the craft grow, they differentiate, modularize, what have you. Right, that's why the craft are seeing the change shape, divide up into multiple parts and fly off in different directions, fly towards each other at high speed and merge. How many witnesses have described the interior of the craft is much larger than the exterior. A person who's done a lot of research in this regard is Bill Hamilton of Southern California, in my opinion, one of the top UFO researchers who's developed a lot of contacts, informants in the underground bases in Aerospace Valley there in Southern California. And what Bill Hamilton points out is that his informants in the underground aerospace bases say essentially the same thing, that some of this ET technology is organic in nature, right? And that some of his informants have described a device on board some of the recovered craft, which they call an interspatial resonator. And what it does is a craft and the occupants from another plane of existence, and the way Bill describes it is, think of two soap bubbles side by side, but out of phase with one another, operating on different pulses, different beats. What the interspatial resonator within some of the craft can do is resonate the frequency of the craft and all the occupants with the frequency of the universe they want to enter. So some of the craft that's been recovered and has been back engineered are not even from the same plane. They're from an entirely different universe. So that's what we're talking about when these teams are being sent not only off-world on space ops. And some of the space ops are run by ETs. They're not even run by humans. Some of the my labs are used often by different ET groups to conduct ops in our plane, also on others. So, and one thing that ufology has not caught up with is the whole concept of back engineering and the operational capabilities of some of these deep black military units. I mean, there's so many researchers out there that are still stuck in the lights in the sky nonsense. I mean, really.
If our military have this fantastic technology, why do we even bother? I mean, we could go and take out any kind of foreign leader anywhere without launching an invasion, without anything. We could go, take out the leadership of at Tiananmen Square or the Kremlin or anywhere else if we can go interdimensionally. How do they manage to hide something this huge from...
Well, you're looking at things from the paradigm of, like, the false left-right paradigm. It's the U.S., actually the corporation and financial institutions behind the U.S. against the world. It's not like that. And see, one of the things that I always point out is there's too many UFO researchers who carry out their activities and conduct their research without any frame of reference to what's going on in other disciplines and other areas of ufology, but especially what's going on in the surface world. In the surface world, we see a gradual and accelerating move towards global governance, as they say, and with multiple sides being played off by the center. So there is no good guys or bad guys on the surface. That's all an outward manifestation of the reptilian overlordship control agenda, right? So
I totally agree. Yeah.
But the thing about it is, everything on the surface is fear-based, and it's. Resource-wise, it's based on this concept of a contrived shortage of artificial scarcity, right? For example, oil, this nonsense of fossil fuels. It's not fossil fuels. That's ridiculous. It's abiotic, right? This is why the Russians never fail to strike oil, because they dig so deep, right? They always come up with it. So they create all these artificial shortages of gold, diamonds, and resources to keep everything under control. See, that's another reason.
James Files wrote about that years ago, that actually it is continually generated by the planet. It's not a fossil fuel.
yeah, it's not a fossil fuel. So just think of what the and this is one of my qualms with the whole disclosure movement, this Pollyanna notion that, oh, everything's going to be great, because if the powers that be ever go to the trouble of disclosing the reality of non-human intelligences interacting and indeed manipulating human history, right? Rest assured that disclosure will have a spin to it, that they will disclose the reality of UFOs and the reality of ETs on their own terms, and it will be just, it will be nothing like the real truth. See, my argument is that the fake alien invasion is a wild card that they can keep up their sleeve. And when I see they say, I mean the reptilian overlords, because it stands to reason. If there are good beings that are coming here, and we can't, you know, just hold out hope that good beings are going to come and pull our chestnuts out of the fire, we got to do the metaphysical, spiritual work ourselves and not rely on anyone else, right? We got to meet them halfway at the very least. But if there are good beings that are coming here, and there seems to be a lot of UFO activity lately, doesn't it stand to reason that these reptilian overlords who already control this planet would frighten everyone into believing a fake alien invasion? Especially since the reptilians control a number of ET races who have real ET technology, never mind the fleets that have been created of alien replicated vehicles in the underground bases, which have already been going to Mars and elsewhere in the solar system probably for at least two decades. So to answer your question in a roundabout way about, well, why don't they utilize this technology, some of this technology is being utilized on the surface in these contrived, illegal and unjustified wars. They're using directed energy weapons on people in Gaza and in Lebanon. They're using directed energy weapons on protesters and whatnot. They're utilizing their implant technology, which is now mainstream, right? I mean, abductees have been complaining about implants for decades. And one thing before we run out of time, that there are such things as targeted individuals and gang stalking. And there's a great many people out there, especially those MyLabs and also Monarchs, okay, that are gang stalked. And not only are there actual mind-controlled operatives that follow these people around and harangue them, but a lot of people have noticed that are being gang stalked, that some person will come up to them and suddenly know everything about their lives and will be hurling insults and making accusations at them, which no one else should know about, right? Well, what some of these gang stalkers do is they're adepts, they're occultists, they can astrally project and take up the bodies of the nearest transient, the nearest homeless person, mentally damaged person, take up that person as a momentary host and start yelling and cussing out these gang-stalked individuals. And
so what you're describing then is some sort of unholy alliance between negative ETs and the parasitic upper crust of occultists.
Well, it's two sides of the same coin, because so many of these occultists are hybrids themselves. They've got a preponderance of reptilian or Draco DNA. And I should emphasize that all of us, bar none, have reptilian DNA. There's no way around it, because after this last reset, after these comets had come through, and then the reps and other negative entities started playing around with genetics again, they imbued all these odious characteristics into us. They want us to become more like them, is the whole idea behind it, because they want to keep us locked into this third dimensional frequency and prevent us from ascending. This is all about ascension. This is all about getting to the next level of spirituality, and they want to keep us here in essentially a spiritual prison. But I've got news for them. Their time is up. If anyone's spirit-based, the reptilians.
Why does it matter so much to them to keep us here in this prison? A lot of our listeners may not understand this.
Because they're parasites. They need us. We don't need them. They need to energetically feed off of us. They need to use humans in their six sordid ceremonies. And see, one of the things that Barbara Bartholik pioneered was the concept of emotional testing, which most researchers have no concept of. Emotional testing in practice means subjecting abductees to the extremes of emotion, of pain and of ecstasy and rage and all points in between, even to the extent of pitting children into what amounts to as gladiatorial contest run by the aliens, just to engender all this anger, what Barbara Bartholet called the breed out the love program for children. And is there any denying that a lot of children are just sadistic psychos these days, all the things they're doing? So, and I have a upbeat,
uplifting... Well, aren't video games aimed at doing the same thing? Don't we find
well,
a
yes,
lot of video games
that
really
desensitizes
pushing
people.
The alien agenda?
It desensitizes people. Look at the big
Correct.
Counter-Strike games. They have conventions of these kids called, and they're in these clans called Counter-Strike clans, and the whole thing is set up by the U.S. Army, and they track these teams and which ones have the best scores, and they recruit a lot of these guys in the military. It's a short jump from playing a video game to operating, a Predator drone or a Global Hawk, right? So
it's basically desensitizing us to random violence and to use of violence against others.
It's reducing the human race to its lowest common denominator of brutishness, thuggishness, sexual depravity, sadism, all the lower chakras, getting us addicted to, a violent imagery, pornography, so on and so forth. That's what it's all about, because it locks us into their mind and in their frequency. But humans are inherently capable of more of that. And so as time goes on, we will see that more and more people around the world will really start to reacquire this ancient wisdom that they've had from way back when. They'll start to really develop their metaphysical abilities. And I would encourage a lot of you out there not to brag about your very gifted children, because you don't want people to know they're indigo children, okay, because the ETs probably know about them anyway. But you don't want all these deep black groups on the surface or below the surface to find out about your gifted children, because they're going to pull them into a mind control program. So, you know, jealously guard your children and then nurture them, teach them, and the human race will come out on top. We will fulfill our destiny. There's no two ways about it.
Oh, Lord. James, this has been a great interview, man. This is something else now. We're going to have to get you back again soon now. I'm sure there's
mm-hmm.
a lot more to explore with you, because your research has continued on since we last had you on. It's been like four or five years. So could you tell us a little more about your plans for the immediate future with your research?
Well, I've really looked into these snake entities that take up humans and non-humans as hosts, and the fact that energetically they can siphon off all the negative energy from wars, from massacres, and from raves and everything else, and just expand geometrically, right? And so it's the snake entities, too. It's not just the reptilians and the Dracos. It's these snake entities. And also the MyLab aspect, the time travel, the alternate timeline operations, the ritualistic aspect of that, where certain of the controlling groups utilize ritual in conjunction with some technology to open portals and access and portals and whatnot. But remember, everybody remember, it's a human phenomenon. These entities are interacting with us. Too often, researchers forget that it's the people that are having the experiences. It's the abductees and the contactees that are being ignored in favor of these lights in the sky nonsense, okay? So there's people around all over that have a wealth of information. If someone would just take the time to listen to them and not judge what they say based on a left-brained, false science paradigm, that's my last message for today.
Yeah, James, now you mentioned the snake entities. I've heard that with this ayahuasca drug, that the one thing that's frequently reported is there's a serpent that appears to people once they're under the influence of that, that is wise and teaches them. Would this tie into the snake entities?
Well, not only is our plane a plane of dualities and polarities, but in all other planes. I'll be the first to say, I wouldn't have said this years ago, but I'll say now, that there are what I would call good or at least indifferent reptilians, okay? And I would go so far as to say that some of the reptilians that literally consume humans as a food source are not even evil per se. That's like saying, well, a scorpion's evil because it stings things, or like a lion is evil because it eats gazelle. No, there's a certain order to things. And so Because, see, there's a built-in conflict between the subterranean reptilians that need humans as a food source and the globalist reptilian hybrids who are trying to depopulate the surface, right? That is a built-in conflict that needs to be exploited by somebody, okay? And it's not even a case of, you know, enemy of my enemy or that kind of thing. It's just some reptilians need humans for food and some reptilians want to get rid of humans. Pit the two together. Pit the two against each other.
Let me ask you
right?
this, James. If the globalists are trying to depopulate the world, why do they, because they run the UN, they support all the foundations that run the UN, do all these humanitarian outreach programs to feed all the third world and promote all of this food assistance with no regard to birth control, where they're actually, and promote child wellness as opposed to the child mortality that used to take a large, so in the highest breeding populations, they are encouraging additional growth of population and have been for a long time. Aren't they perfectly happy with a huge human ant heap as long as they're the top ants?
Well, there is a well-documented
if we look at what
documented
they actually
so-called
do,
eugenics
say.
Agenda. I'm sorry?
Well, if we
yeah, we're
just
about out of time.
Yeah,
there is a well-documented eugenics depopulationist agenda. So there could be, like, not all the factions on the surface are 100% in sync with one another. There are factions and rivalries between the factions. So, you know,
sure.
Again, those rivalries need to be exploited in some way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Now, we're out of time on the live air, but this is going on the archive for another minute or so. So just to round it off, James, I want to thank you again for being a guest, and I want you to promise to come back on again real soon.
Yeah.
Now we want
yeah, any time. Just let me know, and I'll send you the links to my other websites, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, George, you want to carry us out with it? Yeah, go ahead.
You guys are doing fantastic work, and continue to carry on. And you've done great work there, Eddie. I've spoken at some of your conferences before at Shelby State and also in Mississippi, and it's a wonderful part of the world. So just, you know, carry on and give your crew over there my regards.
Well, I sure will. Now, and you take care, and we'll be talking to you real soon. George, you want to carry
okay.
us out with a outro here?
My pleasure. Every weeknight at 6 p.m., Night Search brings you the unusual, the bizarre, the otherworldly, the side of the story you just might not have heard anywhere else. Catch us on blogtalkradio.com. For archived copies of this and prior shows, look for them by date and topic at www.blogtalkradio.com/emiddy. That's E-M-I-D-D-Y. Thank you, our listening audience, for joining us tonight. And until next time, remember, it's outrageous information, but it's all true. Good night.
Good night.
Serve up some summertime fun with a little help from your friendly neighborhood Albertsons. You'll find great deals on grilling favorites and the freshest produce. All the things that make summer just better. For a delicious cookout, stop by the meat department and pick up USDA Choice Beef London Broil for just $3.99 a pound. And get a sweet deal on fresh blueberry 6-ounce packages for only 99 cents each. Tastier meats, sweeter produce, better summers. Albertsons, it's just better. Serve up some summertime fun with a little help from your friendly neighborhood Albertsons. You'll find great deals on grilling favorites and the freshest produce. All the things that make summer just better. For a delicious cookout, stop by the meat department and pick up USDA Choice Beef London Broil for just $3.99 a pound. And get a sweet deal on fresh blueberry 6-ounce packages for only 99 cents each. Tastier meats, sweeter produce, better summers. Albertsons, it's just better.